Take our Bibles and turn to
Genesis chapter 38, if you will. Genesis chapter 38. If you need a worksheet, raise your hand. Raise your hand. And they'll come around and make sure you get one. Keep your hand up until you get one. Genesis chapter 38. In the middle of everything we have been studying, this chapter just kind of pops out of nowhere. At least it appears to. One commentator thought, well, I think we really ought to, I really think the timing of this should have makes it should have been done, you know, around Genesis 33 or 34 or something. God knows what he's doing, and he puts it at the right place because he has something he wants to say. And I believe that some of what is said, the story, is not something that happened over a weekend. This is a story of quite a few years. And so this little account we have in chapter 38 began a while back, and it's going on later while Joseph is in captivity, if you will. He was sold into slavery. But it's probably started a little before that, but you're going to see there's an account there. And it's interesting. You would have thought that Joseph was the bad guy, the way that his brothers treated him. They didn't want him around. He was a tattletale. Daddy liked him better. And it's almost like it wasn't wrong for them to do wrong. It was wrong for him to tell Dad they were doing wrong. I remember when I was in school, there was kids like that. They were the ones who were doing wrong, but you were worse if you tattled on them for doing wrong. And I didn't quite understand that. And that's kind of what's going on with Joseph and his brothers. You would think he was such a bad guy that he had to get rid of him. So they decide to throw him in this pit. They're going to kill him. They say, well, let's make a few bucks on him instead. And they sell him into slavery. And he's a good riddance. We're glad to get rid of him as if he's a bad guy. And I'll be honest with you, we've been talking about this. Joseph probably wondered a little bit himself. What did I do? Why? I thought I was trying to do right. And they sell me down the river. Get bought as a slave. Then I get falsely accused. End up in jail. Try to do right down there, and then they forget me for a couple years. And you start to wonder, you know, I mean, we all have a certain amount of doubt about ourselves. What in the world was I doing wrong? What did I do? And you think, well, he's the wrong. But, you know, we've been through all that. And Joseph was trying his best to do right all along. Now, he wasn't a perfect man, but he was really trying to do his best all along. We've been through all that. And he was doing right, and yet he seemed to get persecuted for it. He did right, and he seemed to get in trouble anyway, and did right. And so I want you to see some things here. But we have a story in our passage here. And I think maybe just for the sake, I know it's going to take a little time, I want to read this chapter so we have the story. And then we'll go back and we can put it into context. Genesis chapter 38. It says, and it came to pass at that time. In other words, when the 12 brothers were growing up and starting to have kids and starting to get out in society and live, and about the time that they, you know, including the time when they sold Joseph down to Egypt, and about that time, in those times, it says that Judah, one of his brothers, went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. Now, the Adullamites were Canaanites. They weren't the right folks. They're a mess. But Judah kind of went out and decided to go to find out what's going on. Verse 2. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. And she conceived and bare a son. And he called his name Ur. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she called his name She called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah. And he was at Gezib when she bare him. And Judah took a wife for Er, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. Now see, also, boom, at least 16, 17, 18 years has passed, at least. Bang, all of a sudden. That's why I say this story covers a good bit of time. Verse 7, and Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Now that's one little verse, but there's a lot built right in there. God just, I mean, apparently his son was just a mess. And God just says, we're not having it. He killed him. I don't know how, why, where, what happened. But the fact is, God is saying here in his book, the reason he died was because God got rid of him. And Judah said unto Onan, his secondborn, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass when he went in unto her brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord. Wherefore, he slew him also. So Judah has two boys, and both of them, the first two boys are dead. Verse 11, then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house. Go back to your father's house till Shelah, my third son, be grown. And he said, lest peradventure he die also, as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. He basically, I mean, what he was kind of saying here was, well, why don't you go home till the little brother grows up and he can marry you? But just go ahead and go home to your father's place. Kind of like maybe she'll forget about it, maybe she'll find somebody else. And it's almost as if he's kind of wondering, I think she's bad luck. I don't think I want to marry my third boy off to this girl. I mean, really. Verse 12. And in the process of time, again, time goes by, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. So Judah had one wife and she died. And Judah was comforted and went up into his sheep shears to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. Now, so his wife died and his days of mourning were kind of gone. And so he went on about business and he went down to his buddy, the Adullamite, which where he started out with, down to Canaanites, which he probably shouldn't have. And it was told Tamar, his daughter-in-law that had married saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put her widow's garment off from her. They dressed a certain way. You knew when somebody was a widow. You knew when somebody was a young woman looking for a husband. And there were certain things that they did. It was part of the culture. And she put her widow's garment from off her and covered her with a veil and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown and she was not given unto him the wife. So the third boy had grown up, and I think he was hoping that she'd forget about it. And she says, well, wait a minute. I've been waiting around. Here's the third boy. I'm supposed to get married to him. And he wasn't given to her. So, verse 15, when Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. Prostitute. So she's sitting there in the middle, out there along the market street, looked like she's selling herself because she had covered her face. That's the way part of the culture. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee, for he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? This is wrong stuff, by the way. He sees a lady, he thinks she's a prostitute, and he's going to pay to have relations with her. This is wrong stuff. Okay? And he says, so how much is it? And he said, well, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? Give me something for collateral that you're actually going to send something here. And he said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet, that's that ring that says who you are, and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. She kind of said, she's almost saying, give me your credit card and I'll keep it till you come back. We need to give him the signet. Give me your credit card. That's her saying, I know he's going to come back. And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went away and laid by her veil from her and put on the garments of her widowhood. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite. So he sent one down, his buddy took it down, to receive his pledge from the woman's hand. But his buddy went down and he couldn't find her. He found her not. Well, she wasn't there. She wasn't a prostitute. It looked like she had set up for business, but she wasn't there. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be ashamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And so he basically said, let her take it. I don't know, but I'm not going to go hunting for it because everybody in town is going to know what I was doing. And we're going to be shamed. Verse 24. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, that girl, thy daughter-in-law hath played the harlot, and also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose are these, the signet and the bracelets and the staff. And so she says, well, I'll tell you who the father of the child is. He's the guy that owns these. Do you recognize these? And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son. And he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. It came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. Who was the firstborn? And it came to pass as he drew back his hand that, behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth? This breach be upon thee. Therefore his name was called Phares. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Let's pray. And we're going to talk about meanwhile back at the farm. Meanwhile back at the farm. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you for your word and for the truths. Lord, there's some truths in here we need to understand. Lord, help me to bring them across. Help us be concise and profitable yet, and use these times. There's some things we probably need to understand. And we give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. Chapter 38 of Genesis is kind of an aside that the Lord includes in the record of the children of Israel. Israel is not great because Israel is particularly righteous in the eyes of God. In fact, Israel and his children were less than righteous by some distance. They weren't anywhere close. Now, Joseph was the one that was wronged. Joseph was the one that was taken from his home and sold as a slave. Joseph would be the one that would be lonely in jail. Joseph was the one that would be falsely accused. If anyone had the right to lose himself in indulgences, if you will, it was Joseph. If anyone had the right to slip into sin and just kind of let things go, it was Joseph. If anyone could have given himself over to the lust of the world and the addictive habits of the world, it was Joseph. But it wasn't Joseph, God bless him. It was the ones that basically had it good down on the farm. They were the ones that got themselves in trouble. Judah is seen as one of the best representatives for Israel that there was. Yet it was Judah's idea to sell Joseph rather than kill him. At the end of Jacob's life, he still thought that Judah was about as good as they come. We remember the blessing that Jacob, his father, gave the 12 sons. In Genesis 49:8, it says this. This is what Jacob said of Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp from the prey. My son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion, as an old lion who shall rouse him up. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine, and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine, and his teeth white with milk. In other words, Judah, Jacob was saying, Judah's one of our good boys. He's my good boy. In fact, he's the one from where the lion's going to come. The scepter, the king of Israel, will come from Judah. But Judah was a mess. In other words, the best that Israel had to offer is who we're going to talk about tonight. This is a very sordid story. And really, it's not fit for anyone in polite company to hear, especially children. However, many here, maybe including our children, have heard worse and may have even lived in situations just as bad. So we need to learn not to go this way. Number one, meanwhile, back at the farm. There's nothing there for you to write down yet. Meanwhile, back at the farm. It says, and it came to pass at that time. In other words, during the days of the growing up and establishing of the household of the children of Israel is when this occurs. Judah's getting his life, his household set. The event most likely started before Joseph was sold. And so Joseph would have known about these things. And so what difference does that make? Well, he's going to go around and save his neck. When Joseph, you know the end of the story, when Joseph is standing, he's got food, and they either live or die because of what he can offer them. I got just a little bit of a ring here. He can live or die because of what he can offer them. He could have said, listen, Judah's the best one, and he's a mess. It was his idea to sell me. You know, I'm not helping. But Joseph looked at it a little differently than that. Letter B, or maybe it's A for you. B. These are the life and times, ready, of the finest that Jacob had to offer among his sons. The finest, and they weren't all that fine. That's my point. Well, you know, we think we're something, but at the best, we're flesh and blood. You know how the old saying is, the best of men are men at best. And we really think we're something. Someone said, well, he's something on a stick, you know. All that in a bag of chips. We're not. We're a mess. When Jesus came to die for us, he decided he was going to give us life. He wasn't getting much out of the deal. Judah was the fourth son of Leah. Of course, that wasn't the gal he really wanted to start with. He wanted Rachel, but he was the fourth son of Leah. And we're going to see how the world deals with lust. We're going to see who it was that Joseph was willing to forgive. He was willing to forgive this guy. And these are the ones that Joseph was willing to feed and care for even after he was so ill-treated by them. And the only reason they did not kill Joseph was because they decided it would be better not to waste an opportunity to make a quick buck. Let's sell him and get something out of it. Number two. Here's where we start. Ready? Judah gets worldly friends. First thing that happened is Judah gets worldly friends. Now watch me. Joseph is living. He was the one who was sold down the river. And yet he was sold to be a slave to Potiphar, and yet he served him faithfully and worked his way up. He's living a life of truth and righteousness the best he can. Now here back at the farm, they weren't sold into slavery. They weren't falsely accused. They weren't stuck in jail. They could do anything they wanted to do. Daddy really was fairly well off. They could basically do anything they would do. And what does Judah do? He leaves home on purpose. Egypt is always a picture of the world. Joseph was basically thrown into the lion's den. I know it wasn't Daniel, but he was thrown into the mess. And in that mess, as a subordinate, somebody who was basically in subjection to everybody else in town, lived righteously. And then we've got Judah, who daddy thought was a pretty good guy, He's living at home. He's going okay. I'm sure he doesn't like everything that goes on at home, but he's doing okay. And what does he do? He leaves home and goes down in the world to find out what else is out there. Judah gets some worldly friends. Letter A, Judah ran with the wrong crowd. Judah was running with the wrong crowd. Look at the second part of verse 1. It says, well, and we read it from start beginning. And it came to pass at that time, here we go, letter B, that Judah went down from his brethren. By the way, when you go away from the Lord, you always go down. Judah went down from his brethren and turned in to a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. That word turn down means to bend away toward. You know, just kind of say, I wonder what's over here. You know, I live with daddy, you know, of course, daddy, you know, his daddy, granddaddy Isaac, you know, and we go back to Abraham. And, you know, God told, generations have gone by now, long time. And, you know, granddaddy Abraham, he supposedly came out of the land of Ur to be separate. God called him out of all this, not to be like the rest of when they go down into the people. Don't take their family to be your kids and for your wife and so forth. And of course, daddy sent great granddaddy Abraham sent Isaac, his servant, to go back to the hometown, the whole place, and get a wife for granddaddy and this and that and the other thing. And same thing, you know, granddad had Jacob go up there to mama's folks and find a woman to marry and so forth. And you know, we're in modern times here. We don't need to go do that. There's a lot of other things out here we could do our own way. And there's a lot of good-looking women down here. In fact, tell you the truth, they dress a whole lot more attractively down there. And they probably did. And let's go see what's down there and live a little bit and not be stuck here on the farm. So he kind of bends away toward that area, and he runs into a guy, an Adullamite, whose name was Hira. That means he was a Canaanite. He was one of the people of the world. Now, we're in the world, but we don't need to be of it. We don't need to snub people. We don't need to be snobby. We don't need to be mean and nasty and shun, but we're not supposed to run with them, let them have an influence to the point where they change who we are. The point is, we're supposed to stick around where there's more of us than them. And maybe we'll change who they are. But don't dump yourself in the middle of a cesspool and expect to stay clean and smelling sweet. And his name was Hira, means splendor. Boy, it looked good. He's just got it good. You know what? We look at the world and say, boy, just looks like they got it good. Now, for some reason, we're not sure why, Judah left home, and he was probably somewhere around his late teens, early 20s. He kind of left home, and he decided he was going to go out and see what was going on. He's exploring among the people groups of the area. Letter C. Abraham, his great-granddad, was to come out from among them and be separate. Separate. But Judah turned around and went back into among them and joined them. Now, you all know Psalm 1. In fact, the very first time I preached here, I preached off of Psalm 1. Psalm 1's my life verse. And, of course, so I was long-winded. My life verse is 3 verses long. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law do they meditate day and night. The first part, that first verse there, that's where Judah went wrong. The Bible says, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen, the Canaanites, they worshiped their own gods. They didn't worship Jehovah. They didn't worship God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he went down there to hear what they had to say. And before long, they're standing they were walking in their way, and then they were standing in the way of sinners. You know what? He kind of got settled there. And we're going to find that finally, it says, sitting in the seat of the scornful. In other words, you know what?
I don't need to go someplace up way back up there to Padamaram or whatever it is and get a woman. There's a lot of women around here. And his buddy, the Adullamite hero, says, you know, you're right. There's a lot of good-looking ladies around here. You could probably get somebody. Yeah, I bet you could. You don't have to go way up there. In fact, I know a couple. I know a gal. Her daddy over here, you know what? I think he's about ready to put her on the market, so to speak. And let's see what we can find. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this. Be not deceived. Watch me. Evil communications corrupt good manners. You know what that means? That word communication is interaction. You get to interacting with the wrong crowd. Before long, you're not behaving the way you thought you should behave. You're not doing the things you used to do. You're doing some things you never thought you would do. I hate to tell you this, but I remember one evening in Ocean City, Maryland, in the Plym Plaza, which I don't think even exists anymore, a 16-year-old Sterling Walsh took a drink of beer. And I wouldn't have if I hadn't been running with that crowd. Now, I can't tell you, I drank a lot. I never did drink a lot. I think maybe part of two beers, maybe my whole life. It was still wrong. I was taking a chance. Taking a big chance. But you know why I did it? Running the wrong bunch. That's exactly right. That was exactly right. Now, I'm going to say this. You may have some family who do that. Don't you go in there and be disrespectful to your mom and dad. So you just be wise enough to know not to get mixed up with it. I'm just telling you the truth. But you'd have got run around the wrong crowd. It says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake the righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. Number two, Judah gets worldly friends. Number three, you know what the next step is? Judah gets a worldly wife. You run around with that crowd, before long you're going to decide to set up shop and make home right there amongst that crowd. Judah picks a wife from the world while he's away from where he should have been. You know, after a while, you kind of think that's the only kind there are, because you've been around them all along. Look at verse 2. Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua, and he took her and went in unto her. Most likely, if Judah had not been frequenting the world, this woman's worldly ways would not have seemed attractive to him. They would have seemed odd to him. They would have seemed out of place to him. But he had been there long enough, he was accustomed to it. Well, this is the way you do it. He had been there long enough to be comfortable with the ways of the world. Be careful. Well, I can handle it. No, you can't. Because we get comfortable in that mess. I'll be honest with you. I'm looking for a pat on the back. Listen, I've told my wife, I don't think probably any other woman could probably put up with me enough to marry me than her. And I knew that. So when I'm looking for a wife, I knew I had to find somebody that was going to be able to put up with me. And was already going the same direction I'm going, because I'm not very nice about, you know, I mean, we're going the wrong direction or we're going a different direction. I just don't put up with it. I'm going where I'm going to go. If you want to go with me, fine. If you don't, fine. So I'm going to find somebody who's going the same direction. Well, shouldn't you love her? Listen, marry somebody you have a meeting of mind with. Marry somebody you like. Marry somebody who likes you. You can save yourself a lot of problems.
And so, be honest with you, I went looking. I was out of high school, and I thought I was. What do you call a boy who's an old maid? I don't know what you call it. But anyway, I thought I was already, you know, old goods. I was, you know, my expiration date was going. I was 18 years old. But I thought, you know, the kind of woman that I wanted to marry didn't exist. I mean, I thought everything. This girl, she's nice and so forth, but. Then, I don't know, some kind of, you know, she curse word to come out of her. I mean, I had school, and I had a Methodist church that really, you know, a lot of folks weren't saved, and that's where I was fishing. You know what I'm saying? And by the way, if you can't find the right one, you're fishing the wrong hole. Go fishing someplace else. There's some good catches out there. She didn't get one. I did, but she didn't get one. But there's some good catches out there. Now, I decided the kind of woman I wanted to marry didn't exist. And I kind of said, you know what, I'd probably be better off if I'm single than married to the wrong one. Now, about that same time, she had kind of come to the same conclusion. And there we were in the showroom of Stu's Music. And all of a sudden, a light shined. Da, 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 da. And there she was, and there I was. But anyway, God worked that all out. But you got to make sure you're fishing in the right place. I'll be honest with you, there were some things that I didn't like. There were some girls that I knew I needed a musician. There was a gal in high school, she could play piano. She was just a sweet little thing. But every once in a while, we'd be someplace and she'd take a drink. And isn't it funny? I could, but I didn't want my wife to. You know what I'm saying? You should take a drink, or there was a little word that would show up, or whatever it was, and I'd knock her off the list. But you know, when you spend a lot of time in the world, those things don't bother you. And Judah took a woman from the world. He got worldly friends. He got a worldly wife. Number four, Judah gets a worldly family. You know, when you live in a family. When you live in the world, with your friends are in the world, you build your life around in the world, you know what you're going to end up? Your family is going to end up being worldly. If that's what you bring your family up in, why do we expect anything else? Verse 3, she conceived and bare a son, and he called her name, and called his name Ur. And she conceived again and have a son, and she called his name Onan. And she yet again conceived and bare a son and called his name Shelah, and he was at Kazib when she bare him. Now watch this. God is very displeased with the family that Judah was bringing up. Look at verse 6. And Judah took a wife of Ur, his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. And Ur's, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. Now I don't know what in the world he did. And God spared us the embarrassment for him. To tell us what went on. The fact is, and what he wants us to know is, listen, there comes a time when God says enough is enough. Now, wait a minute. God is supposed to make Abraham a great nation, multiple people. And here you got Judah, and he's got three boys, and two of them are going to die. You don't get a great nation when you only get one out of three. We're not making a whole lot of headroom. In fact, Judah's going to die, and you got one person to replace him. We're not getting ahead here. So when God slew Ur, this was a big deal. Now, I don't know what it was, but it was a lot. But watch this. I will tell you this. God is gracious. Proverbs 29:1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I'll guarantee you, because of whose God's character is, God gave him plenty of warning. What was in his heart or where it was, God, he knew it was wrong, it was wicked, and he did what he wanted to do anyway. You know where he learned to do what he wanted to do anyway? Daddy. Judah left home, went out, I'm going to do my own little thing, go out here into Canaan. Even though great-granddaddy said we're coming out to be separate, even though great-granddad sent back home to get the right wife, and granddad sent back home to get the right wife for dad, and, you know, I don't need to do that. I'll do as I please. Knowing how merciful God is, he must have been very wicked for God to kill him.
It could be that God did not want men like this in the line of Abraham. I don't know. Next one. Judah has worldly practices in his family. Judah has worldly practices in his family, and the word there is selfishness. Now, this is kind of an unusual little thing that occurs here, but in that time and culture, this was not unusual. In fact, later in the book of Ruth, we hear about the kinsman redeemer. The man dies, his next of kin would actually marry the wife. I know that sounds kind of crazy in our culture, but one of the last things a woman wanted to do was die without having given birth. And so the next of kin would raise up children in the name of the one who died. So they had somebody to inherit the land and all those kind of things. And so it's as awful, as weird and crazy as it sounds, that was the plan, and God used that. Now, verse 8, Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her, and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his, and it came to pass when he went unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest he would give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. Now there's an act there we don't need to get into in polite company that basically made him unable to actually conceive, have her conceive. The point is here is this. God wanted them to raise up seed. Well, you know what? This isn't going to be my kid. And I'm not getting anything out of this thing. In fact, I'm going to have to pay to raise that kid, send him to college, get him in there, get him his first car, and I'm going to put up with those teenage years, and I'm going to have to raise that boy, and I'm not getting a doggone thing out of him. He's not even my boy. I'm not doing it. Forget it. And so the selfishness was there. And God said, well, we're not dealing with this. And he slays him too. He's gone. Letter E. Do you have an E there? Is that E? The Messiah. The scepter that we talked about. Not the part from Judah. The Messiah would come from Judah. But not if there's no descendants. Right? Jacob said, okay, he puts his hands to Judah. He said, the scepter will not depart from you. The Messiah was going to come from Judah. But how is the Messiah going to come from Judah if there's no descendants? So then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at the father's house till Shelah, my son, be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also, as brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. And they went on and lived life. Number 5. Remember, Judah had worldly friends. He had a worldly wife. He had a worldly family. And now he has a worldly life. A worldly life. Wife is gone. Look what's going on. Verse 12. And in the process of time, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. And Judah was comforted. He got over it and he moved on, and that's okay. And he went up unto his sheep shearers to Timnath, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. Adullamite, yes, right. Judah was, by the watch, I don't think Judah went up there looking for a woman. You know what he was doing? He was on a business trip with his buddy. That's what it was. He took a business trip with his buddy. Now, the problem is he's been running around with the wrong crowd. He's got the wrong buddy, but I like him. Well, fine. Take him home and see if he likes being around Dad and the things we do around there and worship and pray to the Lord. And if he doesn't want it, he'll probably leave. You don't have to kick your friends away. Just bring them to church. They might get saved. They might be a good friend, I'm serious. But if they don't want to go along with this, let them make that decision. Now, don't throw them in their face and try to get rid of them. The goal was to get them saved. God can do that. Oh, they'll never get saved. That's just the way they are. Well, wait a minute. You talking about the same God I'm talking about? This morning, we talked about that. He'll touch them. He can. There's nobody outside of his reach. not to anybody too far gone. But he went back down into that mess with his buddy on a business trip. Now watch me, folks. Guys, be careful. You're away from home and nobody's looking. Or you're home and everybody's gone and no one's looking. Ladies, you might need to do the same thing. You got to watch these girls' night out, boys' night out. Make sure it's still above board. Make sure things are right. It's amazing. Listen, if you've ever been a teacher or if you've ever taught Sunday school or you've ever taught, you know, or whatever it is, you know what it's like when you have 10 5-year-old boys in the same room? Need I say more? They just know how to get in trouble. They don't even have to try. And men are just boys in big bodies with more expensive toys and bigger problems. He ran around the wrong crowd. His wife died, and he said, well, you got to get on with life. So he goes down with his buddy. Let her be. Tamar is living in the ways of the world. Now, you know what? Tamar, T-A-M-A-R. That's really not a surprise. Where did she come from? The Canaanites. Why are we surprised that she went right back into that? There's no reason. In fact, he told her to go back home to daddy, the Canaanite. Do what daddy does. Worship those kind of idols. Live those kind of ways. Live that kind of practice. Live in that mess. Verse 13, it was told Tamar, saying, behold, thy father-in-law goeth up to Timnath to shear his sheep. And she put forth her widow's garment off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnath, for she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. Let her see. Judah is still living in the ways of the world. Judah. Now wait, you would think. You know, you would think his first two born boys die because they're so wicked. And mama's gone too. You might want to try something different. I'll tell you one thing why they were, it's amazing how they could be so wicked. Have you ever noticed, let me give this thought first. I understand the Adam, Eve, Cain and Abel syndrome. You know, I've said this before. Cain and Abel, one was considered a prophet, one was a murderer. Came from the same parents, lived in the same house, in the same neighborhood. You can't blame the neighbors next door. There were no neighbors next door. You can't blame the school. You can't blame the video games. You can't blame anybody. And those two boys made choices. I understand that. However, one of the things that I have found is sometimes you think, well, that's a nice family, and then their kids go haywire. I think a lot of times, and not every time, I understand that. And there's a continuum. There's a derivative of all these. But it's because things aren't consistent. I'm sure they went back and talked to you know, Granddad Jacob. And he believed in God. But then they were living over here, and Mama's folks didn't believe in Jehovah. They have their own little gods. Daddy's parents, you know, he was probably strict about some things. You do this, you don't do that. But Mama's folks, well, they just don't let that. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Not only is going to give you a lot of hassle, a lot of problems, but it's going to confuse the kids. So you know what happens? They throw it all out. Sometimes they go against the thing of the Lord just in spite. Just saying. So Judah is still living in the ways of the world. Look at verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot because she had covered his face. So he turned the other way and went down another road. And he turned unto her, by the way, and said, Go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. I don't care whether she was his daughter-in-law or not her daughter-in-law. He had no business. Well, he's widower her now, you know. He had no business. You know what he was doing? He was justifying it. Just like the rest. That's what the world does. They justify their sin. Verse, because then she said, What wilt thou give me that thou mayest come into me? Boy, isn't that a wonderful relationship? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, Wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? I need some collateral here. Give me something that's going to come. And he said, What pledge shall I give thee? What do you want? Well, I'll take your credit card and a bracelet on your arm. And the staff that's in thine hand. In other words, I'll take your entire business and your credit card. I've got you. Idiot. He gives it to her. I am telling you guys, and ladies too, you get out in the world, you get playing around with this stuff, you will do some of the dumbest things that you never thought you would do. You will sell yourself down the tubes. A lot of times because we didn't just do it in one night. We've been living there. He basically gives her whole living away. He gave it her and came into her, and she conceived by him. And she arose and went her way and laid by her veil from her and put on her garments of widowhood again. Listen, men on a business trip alone without their wives is not good unless they're watching out to keep one another straight. And most men don't watch out to keep one another straight. They watch out to see what we can do when the wife's not around. I don't know if you have number three there. Multiple men are multiple sinners. And sins feed sin. Sin feeds sin. So why is it so bad down in the city? We got a lot of people because you've got a lot of sinners all in one place, and their sins are bumping into each other. And you get a bunch of it's just like you get a bunch of 5-year-olds together, a bunch of 10-year-old boys. I'll tell you, you get a 10, 11, 12-year-old boy. You get them done. They actually get smart enough. They can actually get mischievous, not just curious, but mischievous. That's where they are. Letter D. We're going to see two sinners covering for each other. Two sinners covering for each other. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of his friend, the Adullamite, to receive the pledge of his woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, Where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, There was no harlot in this place. And returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said, There was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, Let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. I tried to do it, what I'm supposed to do, but forget it. And we don't need to be embarrassed about all this. Let's just keep between ourselves, buddy. Look at the complicated mess we can create when we live in the ways of the world. Underneath that, sin always complicates things. Now listen to me. Sin always complicates things. You might think it's getting you ahead. You might think you're getting around something. Sin will always complicate things. And number six, be sure your sin shall find you out. You would think that after their boys turned out so bad that God just kills them, and this was not happening to the rest of the family. None of the rest of the family is talking about their boys being killed by God like that. You would think they would rethink how they're living, but they're still doing exactly what they were doing. And be sure your sin shall find you out. Look at verse 24. Came to pass after 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter in thy law, the daughter-in-law hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. Is that right? She's bringing disgrace to our family. Bring her here and let her be burnt. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law, saying, By the man whose these are, am I with child. And she said, discern, okay? Can you tell me? Tell me, let me ask you a question. Can you tell me whose these are? The credit cards, the bracelets, the staff that you've been carrying around since you were 15 years old. And Judah acknowledged them and said, she hath been more righteous than I, because I have not, I gave her not Shelah, my son. And he knew her again no more. You know, there are many people, even Christians, who will sow their wild oats and then pray for a crop failure. Sure enough, they'll come up. Sinners are as judgmental and condemning as the rest of the world. And you know what that was, Judah? He was, boy, I tell you what, he pointed his finger at his daughter-in-law. How dare you? Number 7, got to get done here. The founding fathers of the great tribe of Judah. You know, when it all comes down years later, you have the 10 tribes of Israel up top. We have Judah and Benjamin, and it's called Judah. And Judah was the one that God was going to save. They were the last one to go to captivity. And God brought them back after 70 years, because out of the line of Judah would come the Lion of Judah. The Messiah would come from the Lion of Judah. And this is the great tribe of Judah. This is the bunch that God was going to save. Aren't you glad he looks past the mess that we are? It came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound him upon his hand the scarlet. So she has two kids. I'll go through it all right now. She has two kids, one named Phares and one named Zara. In Matthew 1:1, here's the book of the lineage. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judah, and his brethren. And Judah begat Phares and Zerah of Tamar. And Phares begat Esrom, and Esrom begat Aram. We go down to Jesus. Jesus was the result of an incestual relationship between Judah and his daughter-in-law. What am I saying? God says, I love you with an everlasting love. I don't like any of this, but I'm going to save you to the uttermost. You're mine. I gave you a promise, Abraham, and I'm going to keep the promise. There's four ladies in the line of Jesus. Tamar, Rahab, the harlot from Jericho. Then her great-grandson, I guess it was, marries Ruth, the Moabitess. And then we got what? Bathsheba. The one that David committed adultery with. What's God saying? I love you. I don't like this, but I love you. You're not too far away that I can't save to the uttermost. Look at the kind of people Joseph is going, what? I'm saying this in quotes. Joseph is going to Egypt. Joseph is going to give his life, so to speak, and this is the kind of people he's going to save. Look at the kind of people that Jesus went to hell to save. Look what he took for us. Judah was about as good as it gets with this bunch. But God loves the imperfect. not because their imperfectness endears them to him, but in spite of their imperfectness. These are the kind of people the Lord was willing to associate with in order to bring about salvation for mankind. I don't know about you, but I'm still amazed at his grace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your speaking to our heart here tonight. Meanwhile, back at the farm, the world's just going on and living a mess. Living just a mess of sin. And yet all along, Lord, you were preparing Joseph to be there, to be their salvation and deliverer. And Lord, the world goes around just like in the days of Noah, marrying and giving in marriage. Not that that's bad, but just living a life as if nothing's going on, nothing to think about. And yet, Lord, you're going to come and you're going to take us. Lord, thank you for your salvation. Father, speak to our hearts. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's take our hymn book.